Hey y'all, this is Sam.
And this is Steven.
And this is Crimology. This is episode 133.
133.
This week's state is Georgia.
All right. You ready to play the game?
Yes.
Of where you know nothing?
Yep.
Okay. What is the capital?
Atlanta.
Good job. All right, one for one. Let's see how many more you get wrong. How many, what's the three primary colors of the Georgia state flag?
Ooh, this is another one where I'm like, where have I seen it
before? I don't
even
know if I've seen it before.
Red.
Yep.
White.
Yep.
I don't want to say blue. But is it blue?
Yeah, just blue. And then the crest is yellow, basically. So, oh. Fourth one for free. All right. When was it? What number state was it?
40.
There's silence because I'm turning around to slap you.
I mean, I...
Okay, it's part of the 13 colonies.
Okay, so 12.
It was number 4.
Oh.
Jeez. Okay. Let's see. What is the nickname?
Georgia Peaches.
Okay. You're just
the Peach State.
Good job. Okay. It's very sad that you know more about Georgia than you've done about Oklahoma, Texas, New Mexico. Well, no, we haven't done New Mexico or Arizona.
Well, it's just a guessing game at this point. It's not that I know more. It's just guessing.
Are you studying?
Literally, sometimes when I write these, I
think you're studying.
Let me just
these.
Look specifically at that number question that you asked me. I'm like, let me just look. But then I'm like, no. That means I'd have to learn.
Yeah, you're done learning at your old age, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm done. Except when it's about crime.
Let's see. Oh, here's, what's there? No, I'm good.
Okay.
Go ahead. Perfect. We're good.
Well, let's get started. This is episode 133, The Atlanta Child Murders. So another episode that we've done for this case was Casey Anthony. I think we labeled it Kaylee Anthony. Apparently, this was the most searched case in Georgia. So this week, we're talking about a string of murders that happened from 1979 to 1981, where at least 29 African-American children, teens, and young adults were killed by either strangulation, stabbing, or gun wounds. Some of these victims, their cause of death was also never determined. Most of the victims were boys, except for two of them. They were girls. And these victims were kidnapped, and then days or sometimes weeks later, their bodies were found. So The first body linked to this case was found. 13-year-old Alfred Evans' body was found in a vacant lot. He was shirtless and barefoot. He was killed by strangulation and had been missing for 3 days. While police were searching the area for any other evidence that they can find, they noticed that there was a horrible smell coming from one area of the crime scene. When they went to investigate, they found the body of 14-year-old Edward Hope Smith. He was killed by a gunshot wound, and his body was found just 150 feet away from Alfred. Now, after looking into these two cases, officials came back and ruled these deaths as being drug-related crimes. Then, on a separate day, you know, kind of a couple weeks later, 14-year-old Milton Harvey and 9-year-old Yusuf Bell's body were found. Yusuf was found 4 blocks from his home, and Yusuf and his family was actually very well known in the area, so this death specifically hit the community hard. because of how much everyone loved Yusuf. Now with four bodies, police still didn't feel like they were connected in any way. So they kind of just treated it at really three different murders, because they associated Alfred and Edward as being together. So March 1980, they now have six dead bodies. So the communities know that something was going on. So they made strict rules for their household and their children. And at this time, they really started to close themselves off and not let anybody in. They didn't trust anybody, but bodies kept showing off. So this was definitely like a time in the community where everybody's keeping to themselves. People are like not really going outside. They're going outside for the necessities and they're coming back home. Nobody knows what's going on. So you don't feel safe anywhere. And so that's what like the community is being like right now. So by May, the families and communities weren't getting answers. So they started holding rallies to get any kind of information or support that they could. Yusuf's mom was a big part of making this happen. She also was a big help in getting the Committee to Stop Children's Murder started. She encouraged the communities to be there for one another. She said being together was the best thing that they could do right now. And so because of this, the community came together like never before. It was literally a 180 from how they were acting. They were watching out for each other. They were getting together in large groups to walk kids to and from school. They were being outside all together so that the kids could still play outside. And then even a neighborhood patrol group was started. And volunteer search groups grew to try to help any way that they could. The committee was also helpful in getting officials to form an investigation task force and doubled the reward money for any tips. So then this is really the part that officials are now looking at this or starting to consider that all of these murders might have been done by the same person. Now, around this time, 13-year-old Clifford Jones was visiting Atlanta from Cleveland when his dead body was found about some time after he was missing. This made national news, which pushed officials to get some answers, which is unfortunate that a visitor has to die in order to get news, but this really pushes everything kind of into effect. And then around this time is when officials finally reach out to the FBI for their help. Now, this is the first thing that pretty much FBI does when they get there. April 13th, 1981, the FBI director announced that they found their killers. They believed there were four killers involved with this case, but they didn't have enough evidence to file charges against anyone. AKA saying, we think there's four people, but we can't tell you who these four people are, and they're not going to be arrested. So you're like, thanks, FBI.
Thanks. You did great.
So that was just a funny little thing. So a month later, after this, volunteers and officials are still out searching for evidence when an officer is searching near a river and hears a loud splash. When he looks in that direction, he then sees a car pull off from that same direction. So he decides to pull the vehicle over just in case and finds that the driver is 23-year-old Wayne Williams. The officer gets a few fibers from Wayne's car, but then ends up letting him go. 2 days later, the body of 27-year-old Nathaniel Carter was found on the same river not far from where 21-year-old Jimmy Ray Payne's body was found a month earlier. Now, these two victims were the oldest victims from this time. So it's the Atlanta children murders, but they're the only two adults that were killed in this whole time. Not the whole time, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So when tests were run on the fibers from Wayne's car that the officer got, they were found to be similar fibers on Nathaniel and Jimmy Ray's bodies. So June 1981, Wayne is arrested for both the murders of Nathaniel and Jimmy Ray. He was found guilty and he's sentenced to life in prison. Now, after his trial and the FBI are still looking at the cases, they find that Wayne had connections to 20 of the 29 cases.
Goodness gracious.
And after he was arrested and tried, there were no other murders that were linked or associated with these crimes. But even though the FBI believed Wayne had connections to other crimes, they didn't have enough evidence to prove it. So he was never convicted of any of the other crimes. So we're sitting here pretty thinking we have their guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where the story gets fun. Some people in the community didn't believe that Wayne was their serial killer and that there were other kinds of theories. Some believe that the government was kidnapping their children, doing tests on the children before they killed them. Some believe there was a pedophile ring in the area that was kidnapping the boys. But majority of people believe that the Ku Klux Klan was behind all of the murders. In 1991, a KKK member was heard threatening a black boy who accidentally scratched his car. The member was yelling at the boy, saying he was going to choke him. And then, wouldn't you know it, a couple weeks later, that same little boy's body was found dead, having been strangled to death. In 2015, a magazine wrote that the Georgia Bureau of Investigation had done a secret investigation that allegedly, because I don't want to get sued, found that the KKK, the same guy who threatened the little boy, planned to kill more than 24 black children to start a race war. They said they had evidence, witness accounts, and informants suggesting a link between the KKK and at least 14 victims from this time. However, officials who worked on the case still believe that there is more evidence pointing towards Wayne as their killer than the KKK. Wayne is still in prison and has been denied parole multiple times and still holds on to his innocence that he didn't commit these crimes. And I think this is kind of the craziest part. Wayne did an interview in 1991. He says that he has become friends with some of the victims' brothers who were with him in jail, and that even some of the victims' families come to see him, and that he hopes that one day they get the justice that they deserve and that they will be able to find out who their killer is. So I think that speaks volumes more than anything.
Yeah, that's very interesting because it's one of two things. Of he's either correct or he is just playing into the story.
Right. So, but then it's a little bit of like, how long can you play into a story? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that, well, it's also, you hear of stories where like mother's tuition, like mothers just know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a little bit of like, if families are coming to see him and if families are being like friendly with him, then you must know that that's not your guy, because it's like mother's tuition, like family's tuition knows that this isn't their guy. So I think that speaks volumes. Some other cool information that I found when looking through this. March 2019, the Atlanta mayor, I think it's Keisha Bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
She grew up in the area during the killings and was a child during the killings. She reopened the case in 2019, and she wants the evidence to be retested since technology has upgraded since the last time this case was looked at. So maybe in the future we will get different answers. I do know that as of right now, there was an article that was done last year where Wayne got a new attorney. And so the attorney tried to reach out to the private testing lab that did the tests to try to reach out to the lab to see if she could get the results. And she was denied the results. So don't know what that means. But it leads you to believe that if they were, you know, if Wayne really was their guy, they'd be like, oh, here you go. It shows right there. And here it is years later, and we still don't know the information. So I don't know if they're still hiding it. So we still don't really have an answer on what happened with those testings, or even if they were inconclusive or what. So we're still waiting. So maybe we'll have an update soon. But this was one of those cases that it definitely started off as like this really straight to the point case.
Right.
And then you were like, I love cases where it's like, but what if? What if this? What if that? And then that this case was reopened. I was like, yes, let's get more information. So that's episode 133. So, like always, make sure to Instagram and Facebook. Both are at Crimology Pod. We have an email, crimologypod@gmail.com. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, share, 5 stars, do all of those things. And like always, this is Sam.
A-Town down. This is Steven.
Ew. This is Crimology.